Blog.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Stuart Guide broadcast with your host, Dr. Charles Burton Jr. I give God glory again that allows us again to be here by way of airways and to you and your family. Let's pray God's blessing over your life right now. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us, O God, to be able to come and share out of the Word of God and becoming a good steward. I pray, God, something in this broadcast will be uplifting, stirring to the hearts, the soul, and renewing and transforming in the mind right now. For all those that are sick in their body, I speak thine healing and deliverance right now. And God, we'll be so careful always to give your name the praise, the glory, and all the honor belongs to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. We just thank you so much for taking a few moments of your valuable time to be a part of the Stuart Guide family today. Today, we're going to be dealing with a very, very controversial subject that affects so many of us in the household of faith that's been hiding for so many years, and that is domestic violence. We have on our panel none other than First Lady Carol Burton from the Empowering Faith International Ministries, as well as Dr. Jordan and First Lady Jordan from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and your own Dr. Charles Burton Jr. But let's always give acknowledgement to First Lady Burton. God bless her today.
Domestic violence in the home, you know, a lot of scenarios, situation that occurs in there. We're just going to give pointers on what we should do, what are the signs of physical abuse, how should we handle domestic violence, and, you know, we just love to hear your opinion. So you can definitely call in at 347-324-5263, and you're welcome to go on the chat line. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Again, that number that you can call in if you want to be part of this will be 347-324-5263, and we're going to be talking about physical abuse, domestic violence in the home. You know, we do say that domestic violence should be recognized early in the relationship, then preventing it before it erupts. You know, sometimes you're feeling afraid of your partner, which is most of the time, and you try to avoid certain topics out of fear because you're angry with your partner, and then sometimes you're going through, yet you're feeling that you can't do anything right for your partner. You know, you're wondering sometimes if you're crazy. You're feeling emotional, numb, and helpless in the situation that you're in. Sometimes also when you get to that breaking point, you know, within your marriage, you feel that the person, that you lost your identity and, you know, you're living for someone else and not yourself. So we're going to talk within this hour on how to cope and deal with certain issues within the physical abuse, and also how we really should be handling, or what are the signs of domestic violence. So again, please call us at 347-324-5263. Again, 347-324-5263.
This morning, we're going to use as a scriptural base for this, because a lot of people, they feel that even in the body of Christ, that are Christians or have a conscience of God, but we are people of God and we have a conviction that physical abuse has not happened in the Bible. Well, I have a scripture that I'm going to give to you this morning concerning the story in the book of Judges. You can do for your own. That's Judges chapter 19, verses 24 and 25. The story reads, "Behold, here is my daughter, a handmaiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble you with them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing." Then verse 25 says, "But the man would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her,
and abused her all night until the morning. And when the day began, they sprung up and didn't let her go. And see, a lot of times that is the same thing when someone has a young daughter that they have raised for all the years of their lives, and that young woman gets to a point that she wants to be in a relationship with a man and have a relationship where there is intimacy and love and romance. And that's the idea, that you're going to give this and you're going to entrust your daughter to some young man or some man to some young woman. Because I just want you to understand that I'm not talking from a total non-biased approach, but this abuse goes both sides of the coin. And here it is, when you entrust this person with your loved one, this person now has a responsibility, especially when you that person marries that other person. They have a responsibility to care and love and nurture that person, not go around abusing them. And physical abuse is mostly the time and the attribute contribute to in a lot of relationships that causes a person to lose their identity. A lot of times people say, well, it's not me. How can I get myself in a situation? John Doe or Susan Joe seem to be nice and they're loving. I love them. I love her. I love him. And they go off in a merry way. But as soon as a situation or a scenario arrives, then you really see the true color where they are. And the same thing is here, that this man did not want anybody to get hurt, so they gave the woman for them to treat them in a way, not to abuse them. It says that this woman came, he says, then came the woman in and dawning all night and fell down at the floor of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. Meaning that this woman, they had beat her so bad, you know, morning, noon, and night, because to repay this debt, and it's just not a good thing to be in a relationship where there's abuse going on. And I just want you to know that God is concerned about that, and no one needs to be in a relationship with a person that is being physically abused. So I want you to clearly understand this morning that abuse is the wrong avenue, and we're grateful and we're going to open up this morning to those that are out there, the fact that we don't care and we don't accept any form of abuse. And this morning we are blessed to have with us on the phone, all the way from Fayetteville, North Carolina, none other than Dr. Jay Jordan. Good morning, Dr. Jordan.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Burton, and all the guests that are present. We are honored to be with you today, and we want to take just a little time to listen in on your broadcast this morning and possibly offer some solutions to some of the major problems that we're having in this particular area, and we surely are having some major problems in this area. Sir.
I'm sorry, Dr. Jordan. You were saying that you realize that this is a major problem in our society today?
Absolutely. This is a major problem, and physical abuse has been going on, I guess, since the early ages of the Bible. And we talk back to Cain and Abel, but when it comes to relationships, no woman should ever, as Dr. Burton has already indicated, have to stay in a physically violent or abusive situation. And it's not just one way now. There are women who are beating up on the men.
Absolutely. That's why we say that the marriage, you know, it's a commitment, but it's a lifetime, but not a lifetime sentence to intolerable discomfort, and that's what we go through. So we can't stigmatize it and say that, yes, you're absolutely right, that it's only happening within the woman gender, also the male. Physical abuse and domestic violence is just there within a marriage. That's why we have, you know, it's so good that we can deal with these topics today. We could open the floor and hear, you know, people experience during it and what did they do to overcome it and what avenue should they take or what are the signs that they should look for when they see that their spouse is being abusive, because it's a lot of degrees. You have your physical abuse, you have your mental abuse, and also psychological abuse. All three factors is taking away the true person who that individual is.
Absolutely, and we just want individuals to understand that, see, first of all, a lot of times in the home structure, dealing with both male and female in a relationship, in the dating stage, and that is why we are encouraging individuals to take their time to really get to know an individual. A lot of times in establishing a relationship, they don't look for the signs of physical abuse, or they overlook the signs of this person because this person is so romantic or she is so sexy, and they overlook or don't take into consideration the other characteristics that are out there that keep an individual potentially to be abused by. I can talk to that because a lot of times that abuse, it first starts in the home structure. And I believe that physical abuse is a characteristic that, number one, it is learned. It is not something that is hereditary, but it is a characteristic that is learned. And a lot of times they say, well, because that, you know, maybe my father abused me or my mother abused me, and now that characteristic is transferred over to the relationship that the individual is currently in. There is some contributing factor to that, but I don't believe that. What I believe is this, that there's a lot of individuals who have a spirit of anger by birth. Now, that is the real deal right there. Because, first of all, if the person is a hothead, male or female, and they lack self-control, that is not something that they learn. They develop that. And instead of it being corrected in earlier ages in their lives, when they get to an age where they feel that they're an adult and they have arrived as being an adult, now they inflict those views and opinions on someone both verbally, emotionally, and physically because that they don't feel good about themselves. And that physical abuse is total devastating. And a lot of times people don't really want to deal with it on the head about physical abuse. First of all, when a person recognizes that, most times the victim never recognizes that they're being abused until the point that it takes their total identity from them. Let's just start there. Because when the individual's identity is taken from there and their characteristics are taken from them and their sense of respect as a man or woman in the relationship, then they will find out over a period of time that they're being treated worse than an animal. And that is the characterization of a person that's being abused in a relationship. Most times, because that the victim is truly in love with this person, or they feel that this person would not hurt them in any way, that of physical abuse, emotional, psychological abuse that's being bestowed on them, they don't perceive it that way. That person is just having a bad day, or that person just have a bad habit, or that person, you know, that's a way of expressing their love and their protection for them. But they need to really see the signs to understand that is not good abuse.
Yes, I could agree to some point, but I really believe that it's an illusion. You're alluding the fact that you're in love with this person because, yes, you may have started off with love, but what happened during the moments of that person taking advantage of you or stepping up over you, so to speak, it takes away something from it. And you're in the illusion to say that he does love me, but he's having a bad day. Or you kind of question, how could he do something like that if he truly does love me? Because I'm a survivor of a domestic violence, and during that time, I was thinking in that aspect that he was in love with me. I mean, we started off, I thought we had the right elements to go into the marriage. But in that marriage, when it came down to it, it started off with the controlling things. If any spouse, and we're dealing with men or female, who have an authority over your life, who telling you and constructing you to do everything, then that is not a good sign. Those are signs that you look for. Don't think that this man is in love with you and he's thinking the best interests of you, because, yes, you are whole within the marriage, but if he's dictating all of your moves that you're doing, all of your thoughts that you're doing, then that's not healthy. It's supposed to be an equal thing. He or she should be able to come to the table and have opinions, have ideas, have thoughts, make preparation to make their life a better life. But if one is doing that, that is the first sign of an abusive relationship, because he or she is taking over. They're stripping you of who you are. They're stripping of who God made you on this earth to be, and they're taking over. And another point that you made that says that you lose your identity, while you're in this crazy loophole, it's like you're in a trance because you're thinking this is the way and you have to go this way. While you're in that trance, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to do everything that he's telling me to do, but at the same time, your inner thoughts are saying, this is not right for me. You have that gut feeling, because that's the Holy Ghost within you telling you that this is not right. This man should not have that much authority over you, because God should have that authority over you. But you're saying to yourself at that moment, but God, why he should be having it, because he's one and he's the head. And at that point, you're in that trance, you get confused. So absolutely, there's signs that you look at. If the person has a hot head, always have an attitude, always thinking that someone is doing them wrong or something is going wrong in their life, or they're having a bad day every day, those are the signs to look for when you know that you're in an abusive relationship.
Also, let me just say this, and we're going to ask Dr. Jordan to come on. First of all, I am a survivor of a physical abusive relationship, abusive marriage. And see, a lot of times when you look at physical and domestic abuse in a relationship, a lot of times it's always that the man is assaulting and abusing the woman. But it was the other side of the coin, because I was trained and I was governed that the fact that a man does not put his hand on a woman, that's the way that we was taught. And my spiritual conviction of that shows that I shouldn't do that. So there, here we go. I got my spiritual conviction and my teaching and my foundation of my teaching. And here it is that as a man now, that this person, in other words, as the man is the head of the home and the leader and the guider of the home. And this person now that I'm in love with and I'm in marriage, this is my spouse, now I now have to govern myself and show them Christ and show my leadership in the midst of crunches and difficulties in my life. And here it is, I could not correct her for any time that she became wrong, that I corrected her of something that she was doing wrong that was devastating to our home structure, then she would want to act out in a physical way. And that doesn't make any kind of sense, because now here it is, you're the hothead. You're the person now. I'm the man sitting here, and I'm saying, my God, because the fact that I correct you on your wrong and that something that's going to be detrimental to myself or something that offended me, I can't even not even correct you. And when I correct you, you act out to me in a physical way. Now, this is the woman that you say that you're in love with. This is the woman that you say you have a wife, and this is the one that's supposed to fulfill your heart and your physical needs and desires and aspirations. But now you're the person that is abusing me and making me feel less than a man. And as an individual, you're the one that's doing this, and this is happening at home. And then you have to put up the facade in the ministry and in the church and put on that whole dilemma that, hey, you know, things are good and things are fine at home and ha 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 hee hee. But it wasn't funny, wasn't that? And now here it is, fucking you defending yourself, and then this person is trying to push you over the edge to have you to go out of your character and respond in the same mannerism that they did to you. And that is why physical abuse is so devastating in the home structure.
And, you know, one more thing before you make a comment, Dr. Jordan. There is no such thing as no signs. What it is you're in the illusion. You have a mask on, and you're thinking that this relationship, because you're in this relationship, because your heart is pure, your heart is holy within this relationship, but the other person has issues. So there's no such thing as signs. You have to take off the mask and identify what the issues are. You see the signs. You see the bossiness. You see that he or she has to have their ways at all times. You see that if it's not their way, it's a fuss. You see that if it's not their, if someone's them, then there's confusion within the household. So if it, what happens is you're walking with that mask. You're walking with this identity that's not yours, and time, you can't take it anymore, and you really start coming out who God really created you to be, and you'll start seeing the signs. That's when the person takes it to another level. So it's no such thing as until years later, you just was walking in a mask. You just was accommodating that person to make the person flare up to another level, but... but there is signs. Could you elaborate more on that, Dr. Jordan?
Well, I tell you what, I am elated to be a part of the broadcast. And also I have with me my wife, Deborah. And Deborah has something to say this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Doing fine, Dr. Burden and Mrs. Burden. This is Mrs. Jordan. I want to agree with Dr. Burden. There are more cases of men being abused than people realize. I've experienced myself talking with couples that a lot of men are being abused, but we don't know about it. The percentage is higher than what people realize because men don't want to talk about it because other men make them feel like, you know, something's wrong that this is happening to you, and it's embarrassing, but it is happening. And I want to also say, I heard you saying earlier that this type of behavior is, they're born, people are born this way. I'm not going to disagree with that, but from what I've seen and what you're saying could possibly be true, but I believe that it's a learned behavior. I believe usually when a person is abusing, they've had it in their family. Their mom or dad was an abuser, and they've learned that behavior. That's a poor coping skill. And a lot of times the person who's abusing, after it's all done, they feel really bad, but they don't know what to do to stop this type of behavior. And what I want to do is encourage, if there's anyone listening and you are the abuser and you find yourself in this cycle, it's like a roller coaster relationship. One day everything is up and you're feeling great.
Turn the room light.
The relationship is doing great, and then the next day or that evening, it's in a, you're fighting. You need to call your local mental health and speak with someone there about getting anger management assistance or just talking with a counselor about how to manage your behavior. And then sometimes there's an underlying issue that just never has been addressed, and it's coming out in a, in the form of anger and abuse.
I want to absolutely agree. Dr. Burden, and we are here again from Fayetteville, and that number to call is 347, Dr. Burden.
324-5263. If you have any questions, you also want to chat with us on the phone, it's 347-324-5263.
Dr. Burden, I want to address the fact that a lot of people have been rejected. Now, we're going to go back to the part of anger. Anger comes as a result of rejection. And most people who are in a relationship learn what their hot buttons are. They know how to call names and put you down. They know how to talk about your family or your intelligence or appearance or anything that will cause you to go off. So there are also people who understand how to provoke others to anger. But the anger comes as a result of being rejected. And if they're not being rejected sometime in that particular relationship, we might want to check, sit down and talk with them, because these people have been rejected somewhere along the line or felt rejected. And rejection leads to a root of bitterness. And when the root of bitterness sets in, they get to the point where they can be enraged at some time, or they just don't care. And they would treat that other person as if they are non-existent or non-important. And Sister Carol Burden just referred to some people who were actually in situations like that, I believe, and she didn't reference a person, but the situation when people get to that point where they really don't care and they are hothead and they go off about just about anything, and that person who is there with them began to feel as if there is no way out, or they have been illusioned by the fact that they are still in love and that person still loves them and things are going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
A case in point would be the situation that we all know about with O.J. Simpson and the 911 call and different things of that nature. There are people who remain in situations, and it only gets worse. In every case scenario that I've heard, unless one of these parties are willing to get help and get the help now, then the situation will not get better. It only gets worse. It gets to the point that the person or the people involved really don't care anything for each other, but they still try to cohabitate. And we find many police reports where it got way out of hand.
Now, let me just say this, and we have a caller that called in. The first thing that I want to say regarding this is a lot of times they say it's about going back to my prior point of question. They say you don't see signs until later. Listen, people are putting up a big facade stating that the fact, you know, you have to function and you have to keep your head together. And even I'm speaking from both man and woman, but even that more of the man. Where the fact that this man, he is operating leadership, he's providing for the needs of his family and his children and trying to show strength and guidance in that scenario. When the fact that he is being abused by his woman, the woman he say that he's loved, and when they take that identity away from them, and then most times when that person is being physically and psychologically abusive to that person, their whole, my feeling, my view, and my experience has been they are trying to push that person to their breaking point, to either a nervous breakdown or to push them in a corner where that they will respond back and cause that person to get their life totally devastated from that. Because you have people out there, when they're tired of you and they say that they love you, or they really don't love you, and they're trying to push you over the edge, their goal is they are already abusing you, and you can see the results. They become so physically abusive in that relationship, now you see scars and things going on. And then when that person that's being abused for all those years, weeks and months going on, and now when they react back on them, the first thing they want to do is get the officers of the law involved in there to cause them to say, well, now, see what he did to me? Look at what on my face. And most times, 9 out of 10, especially when a man's abusing a woman, that man's going to be taken away. If that woman calls the authorities, that man's going to be taken out of the situation, even though it's not that person that's being abused. So that's why I'm saying to you that it is very, very important to know and understand that if you are in an abusive relationship and that person is abusing you, you need to make steps and preparation to get away from this person, because 9 out of 10, it's definitely not going to get any better. They're not going to reason with you. Their whole thing is to make your life miserable. Cole, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
God bless you. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
Yes, hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I always say the comment that you just made, and a lot of people, especially when it comes to women, because I used to help over at a battered women's shelter also, sometimes the control, you know, and the self-esteem and so on and so forth. But what I think, and I always say that, you know, we used to say, well, why can't we go back to how our ancestors were and doing different things and all that? And for me personally, I think we haven't hit the surface yet, because our ancestors had kind of perpetrated this on us, and it's down to this society. And here it is. You know, years later, we're still talking about this. You know, the men, the to down to, you know, so right now we are trying to correct ills that happened to us long time ago. See? And it's just perpetrated between from family to family to family. And until we sit up here and stuff talk, you know, some of the good things were all right back then. But when we identify that problem initially, right, and know it's a societal problem and then it's a family problem and so on and so forth, then and only then, you know, we're going to cure it. Because if we don't challenge the individuals, right, that have been perpetrating this against us and the family issues and so on and so forth, we will sit up here and spin in tuppy mud.
Right. You're absolutely right. And I want to say this, that a lot of times in looking at these scenarios like this, I see that when the person comes to their senses and they decide that they want to get out, that's when you see that the person that has been abusing the person, all of a sudden they're almost, oh, please don't leave me. I can't live without you. I'll kill myself. They go through all of that, emotion and mental and psychological things, and that's all a ploy to get you back to a place that they feel that you're comfortable, and then the abuse starts all over again. It never stops because they're not willing to get help for themselves. And until you get away from them and protect your life, your heart, your mind, your soul, you will see that same behavior to continue. Because if I was misunderstood earlier, I am stating it is not something that is in the genes. You're not born with this behavior. This characteristic is learned by observation. And what happens is that because of some observation in the negative realm, it is transferred out to somebody else. And a lot of times it stays dormant until they can get a person that they feel that they can be superior to, and then they lash out at you. Is that right, Dr. Jordan?
Yeah, Dr. Burton, I am just, I tell you what, I wanted to listen first, and I want to deal with this. Let's get down to really dealing with it. While you may not be born with it in you, you certainly can be born into that environment. And I think as a people, and especially our race of black people, we have been born into a place of physical abuse. And as a matter of fact, if we want to go all the way back, if we get something out of line, when we were slaves, we were beaten. So we were taught this behavior of physical abuse. If someone gets out of line or does something that you don't like, you physically abuse them or beat them. And this behavior is a learned behavior, and it has been a learned behavior. And at one point, women had not much to say, and men were allowed to beat their wives, and the authorities did not get involved. And as the brother was saying earlier, there's been abuse going on for eons of time, and we have learned this behavior. We grew up beating our children sometimes without talking to them because we were the parents and we thought we were right without hearing the children out. The children grow up beating their spouses because
thank you so much for tuning in to the Stuart Guide broadcast with your host, Dr. Charles Burton Jr. I give God glory again that allows us again to be here by way of airways and to you and your family. We are so grateful to God that allows you to be here, to be a part of us, to share with us in becoming a good steward. Let's take a few moments of our time to pray for you and your family. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us, oh God, to be able to come and share with the people of God out of the Word of God and becoming a good steward. I pray something in this broadcast will be uplifting, stirring to the hearts, the soul, renewing and transforming of the mind right now. All those who are sick in their body, I speak that healing and deliverance right now. And we'll be so careful always to give your name the praise, the glory, and honor belongs to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. It's just a blessing that God has allowed us to be here at the Stuart Guide broadcast, and we're going to continue in part two of dealing with domestic violence and physical violence in the home. There's so many believers that are dealing with those issues of domestic violence, and we're going to continue with our staff and our colleagues, First Lady Carol Burton from the Empowering Faith International Ministry, Dr. Jordan and First Lady Jordan from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Take a few moments and let's continue in our broadcast in domestic violence and physical abuse. God bless you.
Comments. Could you elaborate more on that, Dr. Jordan?
Well, I tell you what, I am elated to be a part of the broadcast. And also I have with me my wife, Deborah. And Deborah has something to say this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Doing fine, Dr. Burton and Mrs. Burton. This is Mrs. Jordan. I want to agree with Dr. Burton. There are more cases of men being abused than people realize. I've experienced myself talking with couples that a lot of men are being abused, but we don't know about it. The percentage is higher than what people realize because men don't want to talk about it because the men make them feel like, you know, something's wrong that this is happening to you, and it's embarrassing, but it is happening. And I want to also say, I heard you saying earlier that this type of behavior is, people are born this way. I'm not going to disagree with that, but from what I've seen and what you're saying could possibly be true, but I believe that it's a learned behavior. I believe usually when a person is abusing, they've had it in their family. Their mom or dad was an abuser, and they've learned that behavior. That's a poor coping skill. And a lot of times the person who's abusing, after it's all done, they feel really bad, but they don't know what to do to stop this type of behavior. And what I want to do is encourage, if there's anyone listening and you are the abuser and you find yourself in this cycle, it's like a roller coaster relationship. One day everything is up and you're feeling great. The relationship is doing great, and then the next day or that evening, you're fighting. You need to call your local mental health and speak with someone there about getting anger management assistance or just talking with a counselor about how to manage your behavior. And then sometimes there's an underlying issue that just never has been addressed, and it's coming out in the form of anger and abuse.
I want to absolutely agree. Dr. Burton, and we are here, again, from Fayetteville, and that number to call is 347, Dr. Burton.
324-5263. If you have any questions, you also want to chat with us on the phone, it's 347-324-5263.
Dr. Burton, I want to address the fact that a lot of people have been rejected. Now, we're going to go back to the part of anger. Anger comes as a result of rejection, and most people who are in a relationship learn what their hot buttons are. They know how to call names and put you down. They know how to talk about your family or your intelligence or appearance or anything that will cause you to go off. So there are also people who understand how to provoke others to anger, but the anger comes as a result of being rejected. And if they're not being rejected sometime in that particular relationship, we might want to check, sit down and talk with them, because these people have been rejected somewhere along the line or felt rejected. And rejection leads to a root of bitterness. And when the root of bitterness sets in, they get to the point where they can be enraged at some time, or they just don't care. And they would treat that other person as if they are non-existent or non-important. Yeah. And Sister Carol Burton just referred to some people who were actually in situations like that, I believe. And she didn't reference a person, but the situation when people get to that point where they really don't care and they are hothead and they go off about just about anything, and that person who is there with them began to feel as if there is no way out, or they have been illusioned by the fact that they are still in love and that person still loves them and things are going to get better. A case in point would be the situation that we all know about with O.J. Simpson and the 911 call and different things of that nature. There are people who remain in situations, and it only gets worse. In every case scenario that I've heard, unless one of these parties are willing to get help and get the help now, then the situation will not get better. It only gets worse. It gets to the point that the person or the people involved really don't care anything for each other, but they still try to cohabitate. And we find many police reports where it got way out of hand.
Now, let me just say this, and we have a caller that called in. The first thing that I want to say regarding this is a lot of times they say it's about, going back to my prior point of question, they say you don't see signs until later. Listen, people are putting up a big facade stating that the fact, you know, you have to function and you have to keep your head together. And even, I'm speaking from both man and woman, but even that more of the man. Where the fact that this man, he is operating leadership, he's providing for the needs of his family and his children and trying to show strength and guidance in that scenario. When the fact that he is being abused by his woman, the woman he say that he's loved, and when they take that identity away from them, and then most times, when that person is being physically and psychologically abusive to that person, their whole, my feeling, my view, and my experience has been they are trying to push that person to their breaking point, to either a nervous breakdown or to push them in a corner where that they will respond back and cause that person to get their life totally devastated from that. Because you have people out there, when they're tired of you, and they say that they love you, or they really don't love you, and they're trying to push you over the edge, their goal is they are already abusing you, and you can see the results. They become so physically abusive in that relationship, now you see scars and things going on. And then when that person that's being abused for all those years, weeks and months going on, and now when they react back on them, the first thing they want to do is get the officers of the law involved in there to cause them to say, well, now, see what he did to me? Look at what on my face. And most times, 9 out of 10, especially when a man's abusing a woman, that man's going to be taken away. If that woman calls the authorities, that man's going to be taken out of the situation, even though it's not that person that's being abused. So that's why I'm saying to you that it is very, very important to know and understand that if you are in an abusive relationship and that person is abusing you, you need to make steps and preparation to get away from this person, because 9 out of 10, it's definitely not going to get any better. They're not going to reason with you. Their whole thing is to make your life miserable. Cole, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
God bless you. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
Yes, hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You know, I always say the comment that you just made, and a lot of people, especially when it comes to women, because I used to help over the battered women's shelter also, sometimes the control, you know, and the self-esteem and so on and so forth. But what I think, and I always say that, you know, we used to say, well, why can't we go back to how our ancestors were and doing different things and all that? And for me personally, I think we haven't hit the surface yet, because our ancestors had kind of perpetrated this on us, and it's down to this society. And here it is, you know, years later, we're still talking about this. You know, the men, the grandfathers, the fathers, and so on and so forth used to be abusive, right? You know, they had a lot of adultery. They had a lot of different things in the relationship. But what happened? They kept it hidden. And it filtered down into this society. And it filtered down to, you know, so right now we are trying to correct ills that happened to us a long time ago. See? And it's just perpetrated between from family to family to family. And until we sit up here and stop talking, you know, some of the good things were all right back then. But when we identify that problem initially, right, and know it's a societal problem, and then it's a family problem, and so on and so forth, then and only then, you know, we're going to cure it. Because if we don't challenge the individuals, right, that have been perpetrating this against us and the family issues and so on and so forth, we will
you're absolutely right. And I want to say this, that a lot of times in looking at these scenarios like this, I see that when the person comes to their senses and they decide that they want to get out, that's when you see that the person that has been abusing the person, all of a sudden they're most, oh, please don't leave me. I can't live without you. I'll kill myself. They go through all of that, emotion and mental and psychological things, and that's all a ploy to get you back to a place that they feel that you're comfortable, and then the abuse starts all over again. It never stops because they're not willing to get help for themselves. And until you get away from them and protect your life, your heart, your mind, your soul, you will see that same behavior to continue. Because if I was misunderstood earlier, I am stating it is not something that is in the genes. You're not born with this behavior. This characteristic is learned by observation. And what happens is that because of some observation in the negative realm, it is transferred out to somebody else. And a lot of times it stays dormant until they can get a person that they feel that they can be superior to, and then they lash out at you. Is that right, Dr. Jordan?
Yeah, Dr. Burton, I am just, I tell you what, I wanted to listen first, and I want to deal with this. Let's get down to really dealing with it. While you may not be born with it in you, you certainly can be born into that environment. And I think as a people, and especially our race of black people, we have been born into a place of physical abuse. And as a matter of fact, if we want to go all the way back, if we did something out of line, when we were slaves, we were beaten. So we were taught this behavior of physical abuse. If someone gets out of line or does something that you don't like, you physically abuse them or beat them. And this behavior is a learned behavior, and it has been a learned behavior. And at one point, women had not much to say, and men were allowed to beat their wives, and the authorities did not get involved. And as the brother was saying earlier, there's been abuse going on for eons of time, and we have learned this behavior. We grew up beating our children sometimes without talking to them because we were the parents and we thought we were right without hearing the children out. The children grow up beating their spouses because they thought they were right and the spouse didn't have anything. Well, now society is getting a little bit more intelligent, but no one is getting the counseling that they need in order to correct the problem. So the curse of spiritual anger is from generation to generation, and we must stop the curse of anger. And if we can get that part resolved, get to the root of the problem, we can stop some of the physical abuse.
Go right ahead, caller.
Say again, sir.
Go right ahead.
No, he was right. And you know what I'm saying is that, yeah, we have the solutions are there, but you know, I think sometimes, you know, we say, you know, we give them passes, and society, and I think you know, not I know you went through certain things, but as far as the women is concerned, I think they put up with too much, right? You know, and in the, you know, we put up with too much from some of our men, you know, the women.
Absolutely.
And that's not, you know, and what happened, the kids see it in the household, and like the gentleman said, this thing has been passed down, right? And we have to have a solution. We have to challenge individuals, and I think personally, you know, stiffer law for both sides, male or female, has to be enacted in order for individuals to get the message. Right, and it wouldn't get the, you know, they wouldn't get the message, and the law wouldn't be passed because the higher echelon, they are used to that. That's what the society taught them. So why you pass laws when you know you've been doing it, you know, in your house anyway?
Well, you know something, caller, and I do have to make a remark after that. When you express that we stay in the battered relationship too long, and I only could speak based on for me. When I was in that relationship, after 5 years of being married, I went to my pastor and said that I would like to get a divorce from this man. And my pastor told me, you know, as long as he's in the church and he's committing his life to God and you guys could work it out, and he opened up and read scriptures to me from the Bible and said, if I leave him, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to end up being an adulteress and fornicating. So if he's willing to stay in the marriage, I should be willing to stay in the marriage. And I stayed in there. I went back into that marriage. And the funny thing about it was 15 years later, that same pastor called me and told me that he got in contact with him and the things that he was saying and what he wanted to do to me and my family. He told me 15 years later to get an order of protection out on him and divorce him. So it was basically the upbringing and the structure that I had in my life. You know, you don't go into a relationship to break up. You're going in a relationship to make this work, especially when you look at the things that you have invested. You know, you have children, you have homes, you have careers. You look at these things, and it took two income to sustain what we had. So even when I went earlier in the marriage to say I wanted out, this is what my structure, my authority, so to speak, this is my pastor, told me to hang in there. So for sometimes you can say, okay, yes, they stayed in there too long, but if I'm being instructed by a man of God, what other avenue should I have taken?
Can I say something? I'm not trying to be, you know, I believe in God also, right? But I also believe in sometimes I think what we do, right, and a lot, you know, I'm in the church, my kids in the church, my family been, you know, but my grandmother was a Shango, okay, from way back when, right? I saw her raise, you know, 6 boys and 5 girls, okay, when my grandfather died. My mother was Catholic, my father was Anglican, okay, of different religious faith. They raised 3 good kids and so on and so forth. I'm a product of that, right? I've never touched my wife or whatever it is. She passed away 13 years ago when my kids were 3, 5, and 9, and I raised my kids, right? For me personally, right, you know, not everybody, but in reading the Bible or any book that you're affiliated with religion, I think God has already placed it out there for us to know what it is, right? And I work with my pastor, and I talk to him about that all the time, right? And I tell him, I said, I can come and listen to you, right? But I have to, for me, this is me. This is nobody else. This is Noel, right? I sit up here and believe, right, in no man. Man, okay? That's my key word. I go for myself, and I run my life through common sense, okay, in certain aspects. And I think what happened, I'm not saying just you, but I see a lot of people get caught up into materialistic things, okay? And when the house, the car, and all that other good stuff, because I have a good friend, 25 years of marriage, and then all of a sudden, you know, she didn't want to go. All of this, they know the husband was, you know, the same thing. He was in the church and committing adultery and all that other good stuff until after 25 years she finally gave up, right? But sometimes, you know, we have to get back, right? And out of no disrespect, we have to get back to the common sense. Right? Yes, pastors are being put there, but they are not the ultimate ruler of your life.
Right. You're right on that level, but at the time you're looking at a person. For one, I got married at a very early age, so I was young going into this, so they had to be a lot of room for growth. And during the growth period, those are the repercussions that I was dealing with. But absolutely, you're right to a lot of degree. But now, like I said, as a survivor, I can go out there and find the signs on the do's and the don'ts, when you should not walk but run. I could give this back to someone. See, God didn't put that in, let me experience that for me not to carry somebody else out of it. And that's what I believe. So, yes, I can look at all the faults and the flaws that I did occur in that, but Whereas now I'm there to help those that they don't have to go through what I went through.
And let me just say this too. There's a lot of people that are out there that continue to keep living in this situation. And economically, if you're in an abusive relationship and you want to get out, it always puts a sense of being trapped into to the scenario that I have to bring out. Because a lot of times when you want to get out of a scenario, especially where that, you know, it takes two incomes to provide for that household, and without that person you feel that you can't move on with your life, well, that's the biggest misconception that any person can have. We here at the Stuart Guys have a lot of vehicles and avenues that help people to establish all kind of incomes, help you to get your own home and grants and assist you in that regard. And we don't want you to stay in a scenario where the fact that you know that you're being physically abused in your relationship. And we have vehicles and avenues to be able to help you out. And if there's mental or any other assistance that you need, we have other resources that we can refer you to help you out. Sister Jordan, we asked at this time, if you're still there, would you just come back or right back on in now?
Sure. I was listening to Sister Burden talking about that she went to her pastor. And I think that we have to be very careful when we're counseling or giving advice to someone who's in that scenario, because their life is at stake, and we really don't know how severe a situation could be. So I would never advise, you know, someone to stay in an abusive relationship, because it could end up being the death of their children or themselves. Now, I want to also address another aspect, which would be the pastors. And there are pastors and ministers who know that this is wrong, but they are abusing their wives. And I challenge the pastors that are listening to call in. If you know someone that's doing this and need help, or if you've seen this with your friends, because there are a lot of pastors who are abusing their wives, and perhaps it's a way to keep her in line, or maybe it's an outlet from frustration. Just pastoring can be stressful, so maybe this is an outlet. I don't know, but I challenge the pastors and the ministers to call in.
Dr. Burden, Dr. Jordan here, until the pastors or leaders or even counselors that are given the advice or help themselves, then they're going to give bad advice. And I would say to Sister Carol this morning that, you know, the pastor gave bad advice 15 years later. Now, I am not challenging where he was at that particular time, but maybe he grew through some things, and maybe after a period of time he got delivered. And
yes.
Until we've been delivered, we can't help others to be delivered. So it goes back to the point that we must seek counsel. When we find people being abused, we must help get them to counseling and to get them back on the right track. The part of leaving, that is, you know, something that we have to do. But if you are the abuser and you leave, you will go on to another relationship and abuse in that relationship. Until the person has been helped, they will continue their abusive cycle. And the person who has been abused, if they're not very careful, they will become the abuser themselves.
Absolutely. For those of you who want to call in, the call-in number is 347-324-5263, and you can call in if you have any comments. The topic today, we're talking about domestic violence and physical abuse, how to handle those situations, what are truly the signs to look for, who you should go to for counseling, for advice, and we just want to hear what you have to say. Again, that number is 347-324-5263. Noel, do you have any comments to say?
I'm just, you know, I think everybody, you know, just hit it on the nose. I think I get in trouble a lot because I tell people it's not disrespectful. It's not disrespectful to the church or anything else, but I think we have to start using a common sense approach. And I'm a firm believer in this. It's not to take away from anybody else, but you know, God gave us common sense. He set us upright, not to walk on fours, have reasoning, and to speak. And if we can read, we can understand, we know everything that's going on, just like in the book of Nehemiah. If I sit up here, and I'm not saying that I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm not saying anything else, you know. They can say to me, but if I read the book of Nehemiah and know Nehemiah knew leadership and knew stewardship, and I can articulate that myself also, you know, sometimes I said to myself, as a young man trying to raise three kids after their mother passed away, right, yes, I go to the book and I learn different things, and I know it's like a stoplight. The law said it's red, amber, and green. If when it's green, you go. When it's red, you stop, because if a police officer is sitting up there and you pass red, guess what happened? You don't get caught up in the law and you don't get a ticket. You broke the law. And it's the same thing with the book. And what happened? We put in too much. And again, I'm not beating up or belittling anybody. I think we put in too much in that individual in the pulpit and not looking at overall structure or who, you know, the man who is actually in charge. You know,
but
we pull it, and that's what it is.
You're absolutely right, Noel. But see, the thing about it is that I want to say and interject here that the words say that we are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And we, if you're going to stand in regards to the fact of being in the area of leadership, and if that is not your expertise, then you need to advise them to go to the proper counsel. That is the responsibility of those that are in leadership, okay? You can't try to advise something that you don't have any experience or any knowledge of that area about. That is just wrong and ignorant and foolish to do, because that was causes individuals to fall on their faith and put devastation in their life. So we cannot pacify that attitude and that position. We want to understand that people are hurting and they're suffering based upon the things that are happening in the economy and in their environment in which they live. And we are trying to help people to grow and be effective. And one thing that we need to do is support one another. And when you see an individual that is trying to maintain their home structure, you need to do anything in your power to help and encourage them. But what happens is that we sometimes, because that we are caught up in ourselves and our own environment, we don't reach out to share with one another. The women are more open and adapt in those areas and having all kind of women's groups and so forth where they dialogue and interact concerning that. But the men, there's not a lot of men programs where the fact that they dialogue concerning this physical abuse. I thank God that we have another caller that called in there. Caller, are you there? Go right ahead.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Dr. Burton, this is Dr. Johnson from Isaiah 58 Ministries, and praise the Lord, Sister Carol.
How are you, Dr. Jordan? Johnson.
I am doing wonderful. Just zoomed in from my doctor's appointment to tune in to this desperately needed dialogue. Amen?
Amen.
I just praise God for God raising you and Dr. Burton up, and I thank God for this being brought to the forefront, which I believe that Dr. Burton needs to go ahead and write this book about it, because there are too many secrets. It's just like we see dysfunctional families, and they are paralyzed by secrets in the body. And we need to expose some of the secrets in the body that Satan has been using to keep people in bondage. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand and know that there's no shame if, as Dr. Burton was saying, a male is impacted by this type of situation, because as long as he has stood on the word of God and he has not failed God by giving in to physically abusing the abuser, he is more than exemplified godly character. He has behaved himself well, just as David did in the face of the fact that Saul was trying to kill him. And David would not lift up his hand to kill Saul. And so if a brother is going through that and he restrains himself, he is exemplifying the same type of strength that David did, even in the risk of peril to himself. I was teaching last night, my Bible study, last night we call it Savior study, because we study only the life of Jesus Christ in Savior study, because there are too many so-called Christians who don't know their Savior. So we were studying his example in the Bible, Luke chapter 4, last night, talking about when he stood up in the temple to read from Isaiah, and his own family member, kindred, and neighbors in the town of Nazareth wanted to push him off the edge of a cliff. And that was abuse. And Jesus turned the other cheek and walked out from the midst of the crowd. He did not pull out a 9mm and try to blow them all away, though they didn't have them back then. But he did not try to defend himself.
Well, Carla, we do thank you so much for coming in with that viewpoint. That's a very, very good, valid point. And we thank you so much for taking your time to be a part of the Stuart Guy broadcast on today. However, if you have comments or concerns, or you're dealing with a domestic situation and you need assistance, why not allow us to help you in what you're dealing with right now? Pick up the phone and give us a call. We'd love to be able to communicate with you and offer whatever resource we can to assist you in your storm. You can call us. We'll still be in the air for a little while at area code 347-324-5263. Again, the number is 347-324-5263. We thank you so much, Dr. Jordan and First Lady Jordan from Fayetteville, North Carolina, for being on our panel today. And we always want to give acknowledgement and respect to my First Lady of my life, my wife, Carol Burton, and to all the callers that have called in. You helped to make the Stuart Guide broadcast a success today. But if you are in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Apex, Sanford, Burlington area, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, why not come and be a part of us at our ministry? The name of our ministry is the Empowering Faith International Ministry, 2317 Chapel Hill Road in Durham, North Carolina, 27707. Again, this is Empowering Faith International Ministry, 2317 Chapel Hill Road in Durham, North Carolina. Maybe you want to reach us by via email. You can also email us. Our email address is NS and Nancy, FS and Frank, SS and Sam, 14003@gmail.com. That's NS and Nancy, FS and Frank, SS and Sam, 14003@gmail.com. I know there's so many of you, the phone lines are really going off today in regards to domestic violence. And if you have a comment or concern, or you would like to talk with us on the chat line is now open. Why not go and give us a call or send us a chat text right now? We'd love to be able to talk to you. But right now, give us a call at 347-324-5263. Again, the number is 347-324-5263. But again, if you're in the Durham, Chapel Hill, Raleigh, Apex, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Burlington area, why not come and be a part of our local ministry? It is the Empowering Faith International Ministries, 2317 Chapel Hill Road in Durham, North Carolina, 27707. Again, that's the Empowering Faith International Ministry, 2317 Chapel Hill Road in Durham, North Carolina. Look forward to talking to you, and thanks so much for being a part of the Stuart Guide broadcast.